Successful people learn how to make their mind work for them. I'm David Nagel, and this is the Successful Mind Podcast.
Build a bigger heart. It might be the only thing in your life that gets you there. It might be the only thing that gets you where you want to go. It is a documented fact in history that the athlete with the biggest heart will win the game, that the horse with the biggest heart will win the race, as in Secretariat, that the purpose-filled person with the biggest heart will change the destiny of a country. The person with the biggest heart can change a nation, can change a world, can change children, can change a family. It might be the only thing that gets you there. We're all people that are really focused on achievement, of really living a purpose in their life, have great responsibility. But the biggest responsibility they have is to themselves. And this is not something that is selfish in any way. This is something that is absolutely required in order to sustain your purpose in your life, and that is to build a bigger heart. Now, when I say that it might be the only thing to get you there, you have to realize we're all going to hit obstacles. We're all going to have massive challenges in our life. Most of us are going to experience some kind of tragedy from one time to another. Failure is part of success. There's just no way around it. I mean, you have to fail to succeed. It is the only way that we learn. And if we're stretching and we're growing and we're following our purpose and we're fueled by the desire of what it is that we want and we're really going after it, we're going to fail. If we don't have the heart to withstand the failure, if we don't have the heart to withstand the criticism, if we don't have the heart to withstand the rejection, if we don't have the heart to withstand the pain, if we don't have the heart to withstand the criticism, if we don't have the heart to withstand being tired, then failure becomes permanent. And that's something that we don't want. Heart brings us through everything, absolutely everything. So the important thing to know is that this is a big deal. There was a reason that I put this in here, because at this point, you might be thinking to yourself, I don't know if I can continue doing this. I don't know if I can continue to move forward. I don't know if I want to. You might be at a place where you start rationalizing why you want to quit. The answer is to build a bigger heart. It is to really refuel and reignite the passion and the desire and the compelling reason for why it is that you're doing something. It has to be ingrained over and over and over and over again. Number two, desire is the heart speaking to you and through you about your purpose. Desire comes from the Latin root desire, which means of the Father. It is how Spirit speaks to and through us to give us direction in our life. Nobody is put here without a significant direction in which way to go. The only problem that we have is we can't separate the heart from the head. And I'm not talking about your emotions, because your emotions will lie to you all the time. The desire of your heart to be or do or have something will tell you which way to go. Remember, Spirit never speaks through fear. Fear tells you what not to do. Here's something else that's pretty interesting. When somebody else is telling you their fears, they're also telling you what not to do. Spirit doesn't tell you what not to do. It only tells you what to do. It tells you what to go, where to go, what to spend money on, what to spend your time on, what to invest in, who to influence. When we don't build a bigger heart, we say no to those things. We convince ourselves not to do it for some reason. And then when we start getting ourselves into trouble, we start focusing on the reason, but the reason's not the cause of the problem. The cause of the problem is we didn't build a big enough heart to begin with. Number three, nobody knows this but you, so don't listen to other people. Nobody knows the desire of your heart. And what I mean by know it, I mean by know it intimately. You can tell somebody, I have the desire to be or do or have something, but that doesn't mean that they're going to understand it. That doesn't mean that they can align with it. That doesn't mean that they'll agree with it. The only person that you can be sure of that knows what it is you. That's it. Even people that think they know what your heart is are at best guessing because they're not you. You're the only person that knows. So this is a, think about it. As we grow up and we start to get older and we start to mature, we start to know ourselves more and more with each year that goes by. We know our bodies. We understand what we can do. We know how we think. We start to understand our emotions. We see our strengths. We see our weaknesses. We see how we interact with other people. But so few people ever come to the realization of what their heart is telling them and showing them to do in their lifetime. So few people. Most people go to their graves not knowing what their heart is telling them what to do because they're so busy listening to their head, and their head is filled with other people. Their head is filled with shoulds. You should do this. You should do that. You shouldn't do this. You shouldn't do that. Nobody knows but you. So you have to be very careful with who you share this valuable information with. It's the most intimate part of yourself. You can only share it with people that you can trust. Now, the truth of the matter is that you have to get to the point where you can trust you with it better than anybody else. Because inevitably, as you start to follow that heart, that desire, other people are going to try to step on it. They're going to tell you why you're wrong, why you can't do it, why it's silly, why it's irresponsible, why it's going to hurt them, why can't they be involved, why you're being selfish. And if you're not solid in that big heart of yours, in that big desire of yours, then you're going to become stuck at the opinion of other individuals. So the best thing is to get to know it, which means you have to spend time listening to what it's telling you every single day. Which way is it pulling you? How do you feel it? How do you experience it? Ask yourself this as you go through your life. What does it cause you to notice? What does it cause you to notice? Number four, give it attention every day. So many people don't do this. How often do you sit down, spend time just with yourself, and contemplate your life? Where you really start thinking to yourself, what the hell am I doing? What am I not doing? What is it that I'm afraid of? If you want to experience something, but you give yourself all kinds of reasons why you can't experience something, you're not following your heart. You're following the rationalization of why you can't do something. But we don't spend enough time with ourselves thinking about what do we really want? And then why do we want that? Why do we want it? So many things that we say that we want, when you hear people say, people want things for the wrong reasons, there's a real deep truth to that. They want things so they'll look better to other people. They want things so that they can keep up with the Joneses or the neighbors. They want things so they can be part of the cool kid crowd. They want things so that other people will be impressed by them. They want things because in some part of their mind, they think that they will get love and adoration if they have them. But do they ever stop and ask themselves, what do I really want? If it didn't matter to anybody else, if the obstacles were not an issue, if we use the old phrase, it's a little corny now, but it still works. What would I do if I knew I couldn't fail? To sit down and say, what do I really want? And then completely rearrange your life in order to get it. Every year that ticks by, every month that ticks by, every week that ticks by, every day that ticks by, every hour, every minute, every second, brings you one step closer to the day when you won't be here anymore. You have to ask yourself the question, am I on the path to complete that purpose? Am I on the path to experience why I'm here? Am I on the path to learn why I'm here? Am I on the path to love the people that I'm supposed to love while I'm here? Am I on the path to contribute while I'm here? Am I on the path to change the things that I'm supposed to change while I'm here? And take it that seriously. Instead of taking every second, every minute, every day, every week, every month, every year by the circumstances that show up in our life and just navigating through them, kind of just existing through what we call a lifetime, kind of tiptoeing through life, hoping to make it safely to death. What is that big piece of your heart? What is it? Are you giving attention to it on a regular basis? Are you saying the things that need to be said? Are you doing the things that need to be done? Are you changing the things that need to be changed? Remember, you have to spend time with it on a regular basis because it is the reason why you're here. It is trying to tell you something. It is trying to point you in the right direction. Number five, surround yourself with verification of what your heart is telling you. Because this is about making it bigger and stronger, okay? It's like anything else. If you don't feed it, if you don't exercise it, it's going to become weak. So what do we have to do? We have to surround ourselves with things that feed it, that exercise it, and that make it stronger on a regular basis. Because at first, you serve it. But then it serves you. And that's where the switch flips with building a bigger heart. When you stop serving it and it starts serving you, you start living, the purpose starts living through you. You stop living the purpose. This is a significant mindset shift, but it only happens if we're feeding it, if we're exercising it, if we're paying attention to it. So here's some tips on how to do that. One, books. Books. Millions and millions and millions of books throughout the world. You need to surround yourself with books that cause your heart to become bigger. What are you interested in, right? A philosophy, a kind of a way of living, if you will, that when I engage the idea of what do I notice now in this moment, I pay very close attention to it because it is trying to tell me something through me. What do I notice now in this moment? When something stands out to you out of just nowhere, Ask yourself, why am I noticing this? I have done this with everything that I'm going to talk to you about here in a second, but let's start off with books. I was a person, you couldn't get, I mean, what did I use a book for? I didn't use a book for maybe a paperweight or something. That was about it. I did not like books. I did not like reading. I definitely did not like studying until I had a compelling reason in my own life to do so. Then I became a voracious reader. And one book always leads me to another one. It's amazing how it does it. And it always comes in, the book comes in at the right time in my life, for the right purpose in my life, for the next thing that I'm ready for in my life, to teach me something new, sometimes to point me in a completely different direction, to give me a new idea, to awaken me to something else. But what's fascinating about it is that if you asked me where the next book was coming from, I couldn't tell you. Right now, where I am today, I could not tell you where the next book is coming from. It always shows up. And at this point in my life, they show up on a weekly basis, pretty much. And that's not an exaggeration. When I notice a book, no matter what it is, I get the book and I read the book. Because I know that there's something in the book that is trying to be communicated with and through me, back to me. Okay? So don't ignore it. When you notice a book, get the book. And you might think to yourself, I don't read that kind of stuff. That's fiction, or that's something that's inappropriate, or, you know, whatever it might be. There's something in there for you. Pay attention to it, get it, read it. Next on the list, movies. The movies can tell absolutely brilliant stories. And there's all kinds of movies. There's just like books, right? There's different genres. There's fictional movies. There's factual movies. There's documentaries. There's all different kinds of movies. Some are just for inspiration. Some actually teach you something. Some give you metaphoric examples for your life. Some are to study the heart of other people. And again, I believe that we're pointed to these things outside of just regular recreation for very specific reasons. When you're attracted to a movie, don't say to yourself, I don't go see those movies, right? I don't see romantic movies, or I don't see drama movies, or I don't see horror movies, or whatever kind of movie it might be. If it shows up, watch the movie. There's something in there that is going to take you to the next level. Here's a big one, travel. Travel has been a major, major thing for me in my life. For whatever reason, I'll get pointed to some specific place to go. And I don't know why, necessarily. I can't always rationalize why I feel like I want to go there. But every time I do, I learn something. There's something that I see. There's people that I meet that may have a different perspective on life, that see things completely differently, and it allows you to see things differently through them. There's friendships that you could possibly make. You never know who you're going to meet in your travels. Travel is something that is extremely important for inspirational purposes, for educational purposes, and for something that I think that is even bigger, which is perspective. Travel gives you an entirely different perspective on the environmental surroundings that you're used to. Now, when I was a kid, I was born in Chicago, moved around the suburbs there quite a bit for about the first 10 years of my life, and then had a bit of a culture shock because I moved to Phoenix, Arizona. Now, that was in the 70s. So Phoenix, Arizona in the 70s was not the big city that it is today. And it was different. The people were different. They spoke different. Things had different meanings. At the end of the 70s, moved back to Chicago, which again became a culture shock because I, in 3 years, I was a kid. I had, completely adapted to the way of life in Phoenix and then moved back to Chicago. And it had changed significantly since I had been there, and I had changed significantly because I was 3 years older as a kid, and those are big years when you're a kid. Totally different perspective. Every state, and I have been in almost every state in the United States, with the exception of Maine and Alaska at this point, and every time I go to a different state, I get a completely different perspective. I spent my high school years in Berwyn, Illinois, which is like one suburb outside of Chicago. It's basically the same as Chicago. And I had become very ingrained in the mindset with the people and my friends and the people that I worked with and the school that I went to. And my next big jump from there was a short stint that I did in the Army, and I spent a little bit of time in Germany. And again, everything began to change in my mind and perspective because of this travel. I think that every time that I did this, it was feeding my heart. It was giving me a bigger heart. If it was saying, David, the world is not just Berwyn. The world is this, and it's this perspective, and the way other people think, and the things that other people do, and why other people do things, and have the traditions that they do, and the lifestyles that they do, and the beliefs that they do, which caused more questions in my mind, which caused me want to actually grow more. And then the next thing is people. So, and it kind of happened exactly in the order that I'm giving this to you. People began to come into my life at this stage that would have a totally different effect on making my heart bigger than it had ever been before. Because I was meeting people that had a bigger heart. I was meeting people that had a bigger vision. And then somebody said to me, a couple of things that changed everything for me. One was they said, never hang around where you're just tolerated, only go where you're celebrated. And I thought, that's brilliant. And what they were talking about was the people that I was choosing to be with. When you hang around people that just tolerate you, you have to realize there's something about you that they resent. There's something about you that they don't like. And it's not that we can't find something about everybody that we don't like, but when we start resenting other people, that becomes a big problem. When we start judging people for what it is that they want or who they want to be, that's an even bigger problem. So you want to surround yourself with the right kind of people. And the first thing that you have to look at is the people that you're surrounded with right now in your life. Who are you consciously or subconsciously surrounding yourself with that is keeping you right where you are because they do not help you have a bigger heart? There's no vision. There's no aspiration. There is no bigger intention for looking at life any differently. And then number six, you want to add to it as often as possible, which means that this kind of goes back to the old idea that achievers never leave a goal without setting a new one. And you can see, I've seen this in some of the best people in the world. You'll see people that, athletes, celebrities, whatever, they'll get burned out. Or they reach a point where they don't feel that they're challenged anymore. And they stop, or they quit, or they retire. And sure enough, all the reasons for them to stay there then show up. Maybe it's an injury, maybe it's personal problems. Everything always seems to align itself with whatever decision that you're making to help to support that decision. So if you're not consistently adding to a bigger heart on a regular basis, then you're going to take away from it on a regular basis. It's not that it'll stay the same. You either add to it or you diminish it on a regular basis. So that means you have to cause it to stretch. causing it to stretch means doing the behavior, doing the thing that it's telling you to do, even though you don't think that you can do it. Time, money, relationships, bigger goals, bigger vision, taking risks, doing things that you're afraid to do, all of these things add to a bigger heart. You should constantly be challenging yourself to do something so that it can consistently grow. Because here's the thing about success. There's no success where you say no. When you say, I'm not spending the money, you stop your growth right there. You submit to that you don't have enough, that there's only a limited amount, and you stay right where you are. When you say, I'm not taking the trip, you never get to experience the change that would have taken place had you taken the trip. And you might be saying to yourself, well, what change? I don't know what change is going to happen. No, you don't. That's one of the things that makes life so freaking cool, that you don't know what you're going to get to experience. You don't know how that trip is going to change you. You don't know who you're going to meet. You don't know how your vision is going to be expanded. You don't know if the exact thing that you need that's going to take you to the next level is right there because you said no to the trip, or you said no to the person, or you said no to spending money, or you said no to the time, or you said no to your own relationships in your life because you weren't willing to take a risk, you weren't willing to follow your heart, and you weren't willing to grow. If you follow these 8 tips on a regular basis, you will build a bigger heart. You'll have a bigger vision, you'll have bigger goals, and you'll have bigger results.
Thanks for listening to the Successful Mind Podcast. And if you like what you heard and you want to know more, go to davidnagel.com/freestuff.